Sam Gum was once just a dream. He says he loves you. He says it with meat. He comes to buy a meat wreath, and he makes a cider out of beef. He's thinking about his meat cape. He says he's waiting for that garbage ape. The meat fairy's coming along. So Heathcliff, won't you play your meat song? Whoa.
Hello, welcome to Meatcast. Hello, and welcome to My name is Nick, and with me, as always, is Kyle. Kyle, how's it going?
I'm doing good, Nick. How are you?
I don't know. I'm stumbling over my words. Wow,
bumbling and stumbling and fumbling. Yeah. That eclipse really messed you up.
Did you get to see the full eclipse, Kyle?
I did mostly. That, you know, I didn't go anywhere. I just sort of, we had a nice view of the part of the sky from my apartment parking lot, and there was a bunch of folks out there, but the cloud cover was pretty severe. So
yeah,
really only got a couple of moments of a full eclipse, but still one of the coolest things I've ever seen. Top 10 experience. I mean, it was sick.
Well, we're in the path of totality in Austin, but, yeah, same with me. I mostly got clouds for the full eclipse. And I had a friend that like came all the way from Salt Lake City to see it. And it's kind of a bummer.
But like just came to like your apartment?
We all met at a friend's house.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But yeah, from all the way from Salt Lake City.
Damn, that's tough.
Yeah.
I thought like it probably would have been better to go to like, I don't know, like Zilker Park or something. But I don't know, the lead up to it, everybody was like, it's going to be nuts. There's going to be traffic and it's going to be chaos. And I was like, ah, screw it. I'm sure it'll be fine. Just watching from the apartment. Plus I work from home. So I just sort of like step out and go, oh yeah, that was cool. And head back to work. But
yeah, well, we should bring in our guest. He's a returning guest from the Twitter account at Heathcliff Helms. It's Aaron. Aaron, thank you for joining us.
Hi, thanks for having me. We slept through the eclipse.
Oh shit.
Yo, wow. Was that a function of you just didn't care about it, or did you plan to see it and then just, you know, faded?
I didn't want to go deal with traffic, and like I just didn't want to deal with the eclipse, so I went and took a nap for a few hours.
Do you live in the path of totality?
I'm pretty close, but my friend Ivan went into Northern New York and got some good pictures. So I feel like I didn't even have to go.
Well, don't worry. You'll catch it next year. Yeah. I am looking forward to, now that I've seen it once, I am looking forward to living another 20 years and then going full dad mode with like my nieces and nephews. And being like, you got to see it. It's the coolest thing, you know, because they're around for it right now, but they don't know. They don't remember. But when they're 30 years old, I'll be screaming.
The reaction to the eclipse is only getting weirder each time. So the next time should be fucking real nuts.
Absolute chaos.
All right. Well, let's see. Check out This Week in Heathcliff.
Let's check it out.
There it goes.
This week on Heathcliff.
So here we have, and Aaron, this is sort of a new development since the last time you were on the show. These days, we like to use the Heathcliff comic strips to get to know our guests. just a heads up, that's kind of the angle we've been taking lately.
Yeah, it's become more about the guest than the comic strip itself. We really should call this, you know, something else. Get to know.
Meat, like Meatcast, M-E-E-T. M-E-E-T.
Oh, that's so good. Oh, that's so good. I love it.
Yeah, but then the value of people returning like me goes down, right?
That's true. That is true.
People are complex. I'm sure we will get to.
No, I think using the power of the Heathcliff comic strip, we'll know everything we need to know about Aaron at the end of this 35 to 48 minutes.
Social security number. Blood yeah.
Well, let's get started. We have Heathcliff from April 4th. We have Grandpa and Grandma, Nutmeg and Iggy and Heathcliff all standing next to the corner of a corner in their house. And there's a mouse hole and two mice are walking away and they are dressed suspiciously like Iggy and Grandpa. And Grandma Nutmeg says, "Sorry, I shrunk your clothes."
It is suspicious. I was suspicious until I read the caption.
What were you after that?
Clear to me what happened.
Oh, okay.
No longer suspicious.
That's you were knowing, sort of.
Yeah, I was knowing, yeah.
You had a suspicious look on your face, and then after you read the caption, you had a knowing grin on your face.
That's right, that's right. What I really love about this one is that the two mice are one's tall and one's short also.
So they might be father and son.
They could be father and son.
Or grandfather and grandson.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, Aaron, do you have a washer and dryer in your place? Or do you have to go to a washer and dryer?
It's kind of a sort of situation. I live in a guest house on a property. Oh, and wow. So the main house is the washer and dryer. And so I sneak down there when my friend is at work so I can wash my clothes.
Interesting.
Not sneak. I have a key, but yeah.
That's like them. I never would have guessed that answer.
Well, that's Nick. That's why we do it. That's why we use the comic strip to get to know our guests. Sometimes we learn surprising, interesting information about them.
And this guest house is chock full of mice. So it ties in with the comic also like that.
Well, now that begs the question. Have you ever accidentally shrunk some of your friend's clothes and found a mouse wearing them?
I can't say that I've ever done that. I've never, okay. I don't think clothes shrink anymore. Is that a thing that still happens?
Yeah. Let me tell you, bud, they do.
Well, I get bigger constantly, but I've never had it. Something.
That's not what's happening.
Also, they're wearing shrunken shoes. She shrunk some shoes or they just.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Or maybe they had the shoes already.
Yeah, they had the shoes and they, or maybe there's not a lot of texture here. We can't tell. Maybe the shoes are actually little pieces of cheese they're wearing on their feet.
Oh, why would they wear cheese on their feet? They just love
they
cheese
got,
that
they
much.
They got the clothes and then they looked at Iggy and Grandpa and said, "Well, we've got pretty much everything except those yellow shoes." Wait a second. And they grabbed a little piece of cheese off the cheese wheel that they had. It's as clear as day that that's what happened.
And this must have just happened too, because Grandma's still got the clothes hamper in her hand. So
that's the world's smallest hovering hamper. On her hip or...
Yeah. It is very small. It is just sort of hovering there.
That's like one outfit. Like she cleans one outfit at a time.
It looks more like a waste paper basket.
That's true. It could be a waste paper basket. Okay, well, let's move on to April 5th. Here we have, okay, Heathcliff is riding a turtle. We see him from behind. He's riding a turtle up a sidewalk into a dentist's office. It looks just like a suburban house, but there's a sign in the window that says dentist, has a little smiling tooth on it. And the dentist is standing next to a woman in the doorway, and he's saying, "They're never in a hurry to get here."
The "they" here is tripping me up, because is he saying, either he's saying both Heathcliff and the turtle are regular patients of mine and they're always going this slow, or he's using non-binary pronouns for Heathcliff, which we have not seen anyone do before.
I think he's referring to the two of them, the turtle and Heathcliff.
So that
they
really means that they
Groupon
that they
the
do yeah they go together every time.
It's sort of a protest, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Very funny. Hey, do turtles have teeth?
I don't think they have a beak.
Yeah, that's right. What in the
turtles
Sam
have
Hill?
A beak?
Or it's like a beak.
Are turtles birds? Bill.
What?
Are turtles birds?
Oh, because it has a beak.
Yeah.
Turtles have a cloaca.
Wait, that's also bird-like.
I made that up. I don't think turtles actually have a cloaca.
What? They do. It's just one hole.
Do turtles have teeth? This is from, I don't know why this is the first result I got. HawaiianDentalServiceBlog.com. Do turtles have teeth? The answer is complicated.
Wow. I got the same top result, but mine is from Delta Dental of New Jersey.
What?
Yeah. It's the exact same. It sounds like it's the exact same article, though.
Because there's some sort of content farm selling SEO articles to dental offices.
To dental blogs. So it's about animals, too. Why would a dentist care about animal teeth?
Well, that's a good point. Question for this comic strip as well. Why is this human dentist working on a turtle and a cat?
Do turtles have teeth? The answer is complicated. Oh, let me move down a little here to the paragraph titled, Do Turtles Have Teeth? The first sentence, turtles don't have teeth! Sounds pretty cut and dry.
Well, but some turtles, like green sea turtles, have serrated ridges along the inside of their beaks that simulate teeth.
Simulate teeth.
My question is, how is Michelangelo chomping down on a slice of anchovy and pepperoni pizza if he hasn't got any teeth?
That's a really good question.
I feel like the Ninja Turtles are drawn with teeth. That's part of their human.
Oh, it might be part of their mutation.
Maybe that's part of what they mean when they say it's complicated.
Do turtles have size?
I know at least one does.
Yeah. I know one who has a couple. Did they give Raphael the size because he is the kind of the one that's always sighing because he's so like bitter?
Yeah. That's okay. Yeah. And they did that. That's why they did that.
Okay.
Can we start a Patreon and then the only Patreon episode is us talking about the live action Ninja Turtles movie?
Just the first one?
Just the first. Well, we could do all of them, I guess. But I just love the first one. I just want to talk about it all the time because it's one of the most insane things that's ever been made.
It is my favorite Ninja Turtle thing, probably, that first live action movie.
Cricket! Right? Cricket!
Does Raphael say that to Casey Jones?
Yeah, it's when they first meet.
Okay.
And he's got the cricket bat and he goes, Cricket, you got to be some kind of crumpet to be playing cricket. What? What are you talking about, man?
Aaron, good stuff. Were you saying something? We cut you off?
Oh, my favorite story, behind the scenes story of the Ninja Turtles movies is... Their facial features are controlled by radio, and so they were shooting near an airport, and all the radio interference from the airport was just making their faces all freak out on the suits.
That's great.
That's awesome. My favorite Ninja Turtles movie anecdote.
Okay, well, let's move on to April 6th. So Heathcliff and a dog catcher are sitting on top of the dog catcher's truck, his dog catching truck, and Heathcliff's got a fishing pole. He's holding a fishing pole and he's got a line out with a bone tied to it. And in the background, two men are sitting on a bench and one of them is saying, I used to fish with my grandpa.
I think it's more like, I used to fish with my grandpa.
But it's not, this isn't Heathcliff's grandpa.
I think,
like, do you put the accent on the my?
I think it's on the my because I used to fish with my grandpa. Well, yeah, no, you're right. But it's
like, I used to fish with my grandpa.
Yeah, I guess so. I used to fish with my grandpa. Yeah. But I think that's what I'm responding to. It just needs a little bit more of that nostalgia.
Yeah.
In it, you know, it's less surprise.
Yeah.
You're doing it kind of like you're shocked. I used to fish with my grandpa.
I think he's shocked that Heathcliff is fishing with a dog catcher and not with his grandpa.
You're reading it like this guy's never seen fishing anywhere but with his grandpa.
Or with people and their grandpas.
They're fishing. I thought that was just something me and my grandpa did.
And he is he isn't surprised that they're fishing for dogs with a bone.
No.
He's surprised that they're doing it with people they're unrelated to.
I think he's just trying to break whatever silence. He's just sitting on yeah. silently on this bench, and he's like, oh, that's something we can talk about.
The other guy's like, I don't know you, sir.
I used to fish with my grandpa.
The other guy like slowly Please moves leave. Over to the other side of the bench. I was sitting here by myself until you came. there's another bench like, just a few feet away. You could have sat there, sir.
He's there, you know, he used to come there every day with his wife who's passed.
I used to sit on the bench with my wife.
He's trying to remember her. This asshole's coming up talking about fishing. Now, we do like to use the comic to get to know our guests. So, Aaron, you ever been fishing? You like fishing? You like throwing the old rod and reel around?
No.
Okay, well,
it's been maybe 20 years since I've been fishing. And it was not with my grandpa. It was with my to-be stepfather.
Ah.
Mm.
Yeah. Herbert. Oh, that's a great name.
Herbert. Wow.
My grandpa used to try and take me fishing when I was little, but I didn't really take to it. So I think he was maybe a little disappointed in that, but he never
You must really it. Relate to this comic strip then.
Yeah, I used to fish with my grandpa. That's what I'm saying.
I never fished with my grandpa. I never did much of anything with my grandpa, to be honest.
I did a few times go crabbing. You fellas ever been crabbing?
No.
This is a real redneck ass
back in your
thing.
College days down on 6th Street?
No. Hey, come on now, Nick.
Wait, I'm just wondering if you're having sex with promiscuous women.
No, Nick, I wasn't. Crabbing, as I knew it as a child, was we would go to like Crystal Beach or some other such dirty ass beach, and we would find like a, you know, like a little outcropping, little pier or whatever, like rocks, and we would just tie pieces of like turkey necks. We'd tie like turkey necks, tie them with a string, and just toss them into the water and try and pull up crabs with that. Like they would clamp onto the turkey neck and we would kind of feel them tugging. We would pull up and we'd try to catch crabs that way. Country ass.
I got so confused. Someone was texting me and I was looking down, and when I looked back up, you were talking about crabbing, but you were talking about turkey legs. Turkey necks. Okay.
So you go to use the turkey neck to
catch the crab?
Yeah, you go to your butcher, you say, give me a pound or so of your grossest turkey necks. We don't need them to be good. These crabs aren't even going to eat them, and I'm certainly not going to eat them. And you just tie a string around one of them, you toss it in the water, and you wait to feel that tug, and you pull it up. You're pulling up a crab or two, and you do that. That's your day. That's the activity you had planned that day.
Have you ever eaten something that you've caught? I don't think that I ever have.
No.
I'm not even sure I've eaten something that I've pulled out of the ground, you know?
Oh, like for a second, I forgot about vegetables. I was like, this motherfucker eating worms.
Moles and rabbits.
I said I didn't eat something I pulled out of the ground anyway.
Well, yeah. You know. You said you didn't think.
That protests too much. Was what you were thinking.
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
All right, let's move on to April 7th. Okay, no, April 8th. We're skipping Sunday because we had a busy week. We're looking at an extra day of comics this week because we taped early last week. But here we have, nobody needed to know that. I don't know why I felt the need to mention it. Here we have...
People are keeping track, I think.
Here we have Grandma Nutmeg walking down the sidewalk a brownish colored sidewalk, an oddly colored sidewalk. Right? They're usually brown.
I didn't even notice. Yeah.
She's walking down the sidewalk and she's got Heathcliff sitting atop her head, looking very proud. In the background, a sin, I might add, pridefulness. In the background, a man and woman are sitting on a bench, and the woman has a cat on her head as well, sitting on her head as well. And she's very happy. She's smiling and she's saying, "Cats never go out of style."
Well, Nick, I hope these cats' balance is okay, because as we all know, pride comes before the fall. So they better look out.
Yeah, I'm starting to think, wait, is it only April? Because pride comes before the fall, and that's still months away.
Well, it's technically true.
That's true. July. That's true, Kyle, you got me.
I don't mean to get you on our own podcast, but you know, it's still technically true, and I had to say it. Everybody's thinking it.
Now, Aaron, has a cat ever sat atop your head?
Not atop my head, but I did have a cat growing up. We call them Fat Cat.
Why'd you call him that?
That's hateful.
He was a large cat. Oh, and his brother was Dirtbag, because he would always come in and like have
you hated these cats.
Well, like, I named them when I was younger than that, and like I called them Splish and Splash, but I thought that was lame, and so we just ended up calling them Fat Cat and Dirtbag.
Splish and Splash is so cool. That's a great name for like cat twins.
So is Fat Cat and Dirtbag, though.
But yeah.
Fat Cat would curl up on top of my head while I'm sleeping and groom my head.
Oh, wow. So you didn't have to do show. You didn't have to like wash your hair.
My cat, when we first got him, he would sleep. He still does. He still sleeps at like above my head on the pillow, like just like a little, you know, rested on the upper part of the pillow. But he would chew our hair. He would be biting, trying to eat our hair. Like, you had to teach him that's not really something you eat.
Yeah, it's like you don't get enough hair from your own body.
Exactly,
because that's what cats do, right? They eat their own hair.
Yeah,
and they throw it up a couple days later,
puking up my hair. And I'm sitting there looking at it like, hey, wait a minute, that looks awfully familiar.
Kyle, are cats still doing the whole hairball thing?
Yes, I can confirm they are still doing that.
They haven't.
At least, this one is. Yeah. Max is running around here puking all the time. Well, not all the time. I don't want to make the impression that he's ill or anything, but certainly yes, hairballs are still an issue. Now, I do again to get to know our guests. We did answer the question about cat on head, but what I'd like to know, Aaron, have you ever been prideful? Have you ever found yourself being
interesting.
Too good. Prideful?
Kyle, can I just say that that's a really good question?
Thank you.
No, I live a pretty just shame-based life of constant shame.
Aaron, are you Catholic?
No religion. But that doesn't stop the shame.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, that's a source of mine, but that's good to know that it's universal.
Kyle, have you seen all these new Catholic horror movies that have been coming?
Oh, Nick, I'm so glad you asked. Yes.
Which is your favorite of these? I mean, I'm thinking of specifically of the two, Immaculate and the First Omen.
Yeah, of the two, I loved The First Omen. I went absolutely apeshit for it. It's exactly the kind of thing I'm looking for. I love the Omen movies a lot. And this one, I think, honestly, I could see in a long run it becoming number one on my rankings even more than
Wow. I think it's, I thought it was really good. I mean, and I've only seen The Omen of the original movies, but.
I actually don't know if I've seen number four, but I've seen the others.
I've only seen the one, but it is very like 70s. It's very slow moving. It's very, it's of its time. So I could definitely see.
It's mostly just like a detective story.
Yeah.
with like Gregory Peck trying to figure out if he is actually the devil or not. And you already know, of course he is. Like, you already know. So there's really no tension there. But then every once in a while, there's like an accidental death. And you're like, oh, shit. But no, the new one is awesome. I loved it.
Yeah.
Immaculate was okay. It was okay. Did you see it?
Yeah, I saw it. I liked it.
Yeah. I liked it. So. I liked it a lot more before I saw the first Omen, I think.
Oh, really? I saw Immaculate first.
Yeah, same. That's what I'm saying. I saw themes. Immaculate and I was like, oh, I like it. Oh, right, right. Yeah, and yeah, then yeah. I saw first Omen and then I was like, oh, well, that's, you know, that's no first Omen. But I will say, Immaculate, the ending of Immaculate, I was like, this goes hard as hell.
This
is awesome. The ending to that movie is great. But yeah.
With the first Omen, they should. Do you think maybe they should have ended it like Rogue One, where like a CGI Gregory Peck shows up?
I mean, they kind of did everything but that.
And they did show Gregory Peck's face at one point.
Yeah, like, there's like a Polaroid of him.
Yeah.
And you're like, this guy completely incongruous with the... I mean, it just looks like a man out of time, you know? Yeah. It looks like they were set in the 70s. It looks like they're in present day, but just like, here's this old-fashioned guy.
He was old in the 70s too.
That's true. Yeah,
he was an old man. Aaron, have you seen either of these movies?
Nope, the last movie I saw was Madam Web.
Great. Okay. managed to get out for that one, but can't support our pal.
No, even
Satan.
That I watched at home, so
great.
I think the last horror movie I saw in a theater was Spiral from the Book of Saw.
the Chris Rock Saw movie. That was weird because it was kind of implied they were like, it's a different take. It, you know, Chris Rock had a wild pitch for a new kind of Saw movie. And so I was like, all right, well, what is this going to be? And then it's just another Saw movie, pretty much. Yeah. I mean, it's really not anything interesting or new about it.
And not really funny. Like, you think maybe there would be some humor involved.
Well, I kind of thought, because it came out pretty soon after Get Out, I think, if I remember right. And they were sort of implying like it's going to have some sort of social justice angle to it or something. And like, I guess it kind of does, but that was a bit of a stretch to get my stupid ass into the theater to watch it, and it worked.
All right. One quick
on the Omen, Omen 3. If anybody hasn't seen the Omen 3, you gotta watch the Omen 3. It's insane. Sam Neill, grown up Damien, walking around, monologuing and complaining about the Nazarene. And how he's going to defeat him.
Is Sam Neill Dr. Grant?
Yeah.
Oh, Dr. Wow.
Alan Grant played Grown Up Damien. No idea. Yeah. It's a little slow in parts, but just for him alone, it's sick. You got to check it out.
Hmm. All right. Well, let's move on to April 9th. Okay. So here we have Heathcliff standing in front of the pizza shop, Mario's Pizza. And he's flying a slice of pizza, like a kite, right in front of the shop. And in the window, a woman and a little boy are talking to the pizza man, and the pizza man is saying, "We sell pizza by the slice." So sort of a caption entirely unrelated to to the image, I feel like.
Well, it's not entirely unrelated. He's saying, like, he bought that from us.
Yeah. You know? It almost just feels like they walked in and the first thing he said was, "We sell pizza by the slice."
Yeah. Imagine if you walked into a pizza place and the pizza guy was as excited as you just read it. "We sell pizza by the slice." You'd have him committed. It's like, yeah, every pizza place does. What are you talking about?
Well, that's not true, Kyle. What about Domino's? What about
all right? You know what I mean. That doesn't count. You know what I'm talking about. You lived in New York. Don't give me this bullshit.
For sure. And this is presumably we're in New Jersey.
We're in Jersey.
Jersey City. Did you watch Curb Your Enthusiasm, Kyle? The boss was there.
No, I watched the first couple. I did not see The Boss. I watched the first couple episodes of the new season, and I thought, I'll wait. I'll come back later.
Yeah, I caught up over the last couple weeks because I didn't want the ending to be spoiled.
Yeah.
Not that it really matters.
Yeah.
But anyway, The Boss was there. Aaron, what kind of pizza, what pizza's toppings are you getting? What sort of pizza, what sauce are you using? What kind of dough do you, what kind of crust do you like? What's your pizza, ideal pizza order?
What kind of dough do you like?
Like sourdough? Like a meat lover's kind of like medium crust pizza.
Medium crust.
Like I don't like super thin, but I also don't want like a Chicago thing.
Right.
Okay.
So like a hand tossed.
Yeah.
If we're using Domino's terminology. So
you might call it New York style.
New York style is a little more thin, isn't it, than hand tossed?
Yeah, I think they would describe it as a thin crust pizza, but then somebody came along and invented a thinner crust pizza, and now you gotta call it something else, you know.
Wait, Aaron, you said you're in New York.
Yeah.
Has the Detroit style pizza phenomenon hit New York yet? Hit your corner of New York?
I don't think as far as like fresh pizzas, but I've been getting these frozen Detroit pizzas. They're pretty good.
Motor City?
Yeah, those ones.
They're bro, good. If y'all don't know about Motor City frozen, no free ads, but that shit is really good.
No paid ads either, it turns out.
And it has its own pan, so you don't have to dirty a cookie tray or anything.
Come on.
Sure, you can make a batch of cookies right afterward. No problem. Same time, even put them in the oven at the same time.
Yeah, it may as well.
I will say those are good, but a fresh Detroit style pizza that's not frozen, it's even better.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I feel like there's a couple places up here, but we got Via 313 probably the main one.
Jets is open up.
Jets has a few spots.
What do you think the next city is going to be that we're going to be like, what, they have pizza too?
Isn't there something like St. Louis or Kansas City or something?
I think St. Louis uses like some weird cheese mixture that's like not real cheese or something. Provel
and
or something.
I saw a friend of the podcast, Bill Oakley.
Is he a friend of the podcast?
I'm just lying.
Okay. Let's get him.
I bet we could get him on. I bet he'd come on. He just went, he did some pizza place and it was like Pittsburgh style
pizza. Pittsburgh
it was
style.
Like, it was like, what the hell is this? I've never heard of it. It was exactly what you're talking about. It was like a city pizza name that I'd never heard of.
They just been hiding out. They didn't tell the rest of us that they had their own style of pizza. They didn't want to share. I know like New Haven has like, I think they call it a pizza, New Haven, right?
A pizza?
Like A-P-I-Z-Z-A, all one word.
I don't like that.
But it just kind of, to me, it looks just like normal pizza, but that's New Haven for you.
Are the New Haven ones like burnt Kraft singles on top of it or something?
Oh. Okay, I'll try it, I guess.
It's one of these Northeast variants that looks disgusting. Kraft single slices on top.
I guess if I have to, if you're making me do it, I'll try it.
I think I heard on another podcast maybe that somebody was saying that Domino's invented the concept of supreme pizza. Is that true?
I mean, maybe they just invented the branding of like calling it a supreme pizza, but surely pizzas had vegetables on them before. Like, I refuse to believe that Domino's was the first place to be like, let's throw some onions on this.
Okay, I've got the fascinating history of supreme pizza open up here. Let's see. It's somewhat mysterious, the origins. Okay, sounds like it. They were, whoever told me it was Pizza Hut is wrong.
They got your ass. They lied to you.
They got me.
And you fell for it. Fool that you are.
Okay, Aaron, if you had to choose Domino's, Little Caesars, Pizza Hut, I think those are the big three. Which one are you going to go for?
Domino's, I think.
All right. Wait, they're run consistent. That big three back one more time.
Domino's, Pizza Hut, Little Caesars.
Little Caesars is in your big three? Sir, I think the big three's Pizza Hut, Domino's, Papa John's.
Oh, I forgot about Papa John's.
Now, I would still probably go with Domino's of those three, but certainly would say Papa John's is a big three before Little Caesars.
I don't know. Little Caesars is pretty big, I think. They got the $5 hot and readies.
Yeah, well, I feel like that almost puts them in a different category.
I don't know. They're all crap. Like, have you been to Pizza Hut lately?
Yeah, I mean, yes. I mean, they're all really bad.
Pizza Hut's like so bad. I think I still actually really like Domino's quite a bit. I'll have a Domino's any day. And I actually like Little Caesars a lot. I'll have a Little Caesars any day of the week. Pizza Hut's pretty good.
I haven't had Pizza Hut in quite some time.
It seems like it's never fresh, but I feel like if you got a fresh one, it'd be incredible. Okay, we've been talking about pizza too much. I feel like we're a couple of ninja turtles over here.
I do have one punch up.
Oh, of course, yes.
Oh, yes. Hey,
play. Wait, yeah, let's play that. Yeah, play the theme song. Here it is.
Punch it up. Aaron's Corner. Punch it up.
I don't know if it would be the pizza employee or maybe the woman speaking this caption, but now that's a thin slice pizza or a thin crust pizza.
Yes, that makes more sense.
That's great. That's awesome. Yeah.
It's thin enough to fly. It's thin enough for pie.
Okay, well, let's stop. I don't think we need to.
Hey, but I'd say with that first pitch, I'd say you've out punched up the Hut.
Okay, it started off so promising with the punch up corner, and then what about the pepperonis provide wind resistance? No, that doesn't. Doesn't make any sense. All right, we should move on. Okay. Oh, this one's great. April 10th, Heathcliff is sitting in a chair with his legs crossed reading a newspaper. Above him is a decapitated robot head mounted to the wall. And in the background, two women are talking. One of them is saying, he likes his quiet time. Now, is the implication here that the robot was making too much noise, so Heathcliff hunted and killed him?
That is sort of there is a ominous undertone with that robot head that I feel like that's implied, but I don't know if that was the intention here. But definitely it looks like. Yeah, that he murdered and mounted the robot to get him to shut his yapper for once.
You know, I went to breakfast at a diner over the weekend and somebody
can't
left.
Wait to see how this can't wait to see how this ties in.
Well, somebody left a newspaper on the table, and so I got to pick up and read a newspaper.
How great did that feel?
It was cool, and I was looking through the comics page. It was a Sunday, Sunday comics. So I was like, maybe Heathcliff is in here. He's not. No Heathcliff. I feel like it's a travesty that here we are, the Austin, Texas, the city. With the premier Heathcliff podcast and no Heathcliff comic strip running in our local newspaper, the Austin American Statesman. Right. Should we start like some sort of letter writing campaign? Like get Heathcliff in there?
We should get Heathcliff into the Statesman for sure. Or the Chronicle probably doesn't run cartoons.
Yeah, start your own newspaper just in time or the perfect time to start one.
If the Chronicle doesn't run cartoons, we should just be like, hey, you guys should start running Heathcliff.
I think they probably run some of those single panel comics. Maybe they would run Heathcliff. Yeah. They probably run like a Modern World or Life in Hell. Is that what it's called? The Matt Groening one?
Or Red Meat.
Remember Red Meat?
No, I don't know any of the things that you're talking about.
Hal, you didn't read newspaper comic strips and alternative weekly newspapers?
No, I didn't. I only ever read Alt Weeklies on the web, where they didn't really, as far as I knew, they didn't run them.
Aaron, when was the last time you read a newspaper? You leaf through a newspaper?
Never. As a kid at my grandparents, just to get to the cartoons.
Live fact check. They do run comics, at least on the website. They run iBeam, Peppermint Tears, something called Jen Sorensen Comics, and This Modern World.
That was one I was thinking of. Yeah, This Modern
World. That's This Modern World I'm familiar with. That one I've heard of.
The next time you have your Game Master JP on, you should have comic name or I don't know, indie band or something.
Yeah, that's a good idea. That's a good pitch. Akewood.
Because I'm pretty sure you just made up all the none of those were real things that you just said.
Oh man, I loved Akewood.
Dude, we should start a separate podcast about Akewood. I love Akewood.
Maybe we should do an Akewood one comic, one strip, an episode.
I'm telling you, for the Patreon, free ups for Heathcliff. Paid ups are Akewood for the real heads.
My idea for a segment or a separate podcast was, what if we just, instead of looking at a single panel Heathcliff comic strip, we look at a work of great art, like a painting. And I just describe it.
On art.
I just describe it. And then we use it to get to know our guests.
Which we like to do.
Yes.
Aaron, you ever killed anything and mounted it?
I plead the fifth.
Whoa. Okay.
Wow, really?
All right.
No, I've had uncles that have some deer mounted, but that's a weird process.
I release you of any guilt you're carrying around for your uncles. You don't need to apologize for them. You're not your uncles, man.
Nor are you your grandpa's.
I do want to say too, I love the cross leg Heathcliff. I don't know if that feels new to me. But I love this look.
He's just like people.
He's just like people.
All right, let's move on to April 11th. Heathcliff is walking down the steps of a courthouse wearing a clown hat, red nose, that sort of clown ruffly thing that they wear around their face, around their neck, and also he's got his face painted white around his mouth, and he's got sort of a shyster type looking lawyer. Walking down with him, pinstripe, a tiny pencil thin mustache,
thinning hair,
and he's sort of grabbing lapel of his suit in a way that indicates he might be bad news.
Not up and up.
Yeah, he's saying, once again, you've made a mockery of the courtroom. But he's saying that
he's smiling about it. Yeah. This guy loves it, which makes me like him. I like that he's kind of a punk rock lawyer.
Yes. It seems like in movies, on TV shows, people have a lawyer, you know, you'll hear from my lawyer.
Yeah.
I've never had a lawyer.
No, me neither.
I wouldn't if I were arrested and they said you have one phone call, you're allowed one phone call, which I'm not sure that's true either. And you can call your lawyer. I wouldn't know who to call.
No, I would call, you know, I would hope to, that I would remember one of the many numbers I've seen on a billboard at some point and just call that.
I was going to say, you got to remember the radio jingles.
Yeah. Give me David Comey, the attorney that rocks. Stat. In case people don't know, in the Austin area, there's a guy named David Comey, and he looks like John Travolta in Battlefield Earth. And he has billboards all over the place. And his name is David Comey, the attorney that rocks. Is his slogan. I am famously, Nick, you know this about me. I love clowning.
Oh, that's right.
I love the art of clowning. So you're
sort of taking it on yourself. You're becoming a bit of a clown.
Yeah. Hey, people have been calling me a clown for years. And I'm just now sort of starting to adopt the mantle in earnest. But I love this. Heathcliff has you mentioned the white around the mouth, sort of the classic tramp style, like 5 o'clock shadow, I think is what that's sort of evoking for me, you know?
Yeah.
But he's got he's doing some classic red nose stuff here. Hat a little bit to the side, a little Pagliacci kind of thing going on. I love it. I love it.
Aaron, what's your favorite type of comedy? What do you have any favorite stand-up comedians, or do you like a clown? Are you big on Marceau? He's a mime, I guess.
He's a mime. Mime, yeah. different art form. Very different art form.
Very different?
No.
Well, no, maybe not very different, but
no, I have a disdain for clowns, I think.
All right. Cut his mic. This podcast is over.
Like some of the history is interesting. They have to paint their face on an egg. That's interesting.
I didn't realize that. Is that true, Kyle?
I don't know. This is the first time hearing of it.
What? That's how you trademark your clown paint face, by painting it on an egg.
Wait, like the U.S. trademark office is just telling them you have to paint
it's like in the Hall of Clowning or whatever.
Okay.
You're not supposed to know about the Hall of Clowning. We keep that a secret.
Society of Clowns. But if you guys... You're obviously podcast fans, but were you listening?
No, we hate them, actually.
WTF with Marc Maron. It's always in my mind for whatever reason, his episode with John C. Reilly. Mm-hmm. And he just does not want to. He's completely obstinate the whole time until they get on the topic of clowns. And then he's all about clowns. John C. Reilly loves them. And he talks about the egg face paint. And
fuck yeah, dude. Yeah, I mean, he gets it. He understands the ancient art of clowning. You know, I heard someone say this recently. You know, clowns, they've been around forever. They had them, you know, back in ancient Rome. You know, they had them in medieval times. They've had them in the Victorian era. They've had them at the turn of the century. You know, maybe we ought to pay attention. Maybe we ought to give some respect on this art form's aim. It's an essential part of the human experience. You know, we've been doing it forever.
But haven't they always been mocked?
Well, that's the clown's job. That's the clown's role in society, is to be the fool.
All right. Well, hey, let's do a quick March Madness recap.
Wait. So, hold on. Nick and I, neither Nick nor I, prepared a segment. So what Nick is suggesting is we recap the tournament that we recapped last week.
Well, here's the thing. The tournament was Aaron's idea.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That is true.
So, Aaron, what did we do wrong? Should we do this again next year? Do you have any ideas, thoughts?
More like a post-mortem.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking next year, I think Garbage Ape should sit out of the tournament. Like, it should be the Garbage Ape annual Meat Madness.
Oh, they get the Garbage Ape
title. He gets the honorable spot. Like, he's the previous winner. So if and then you the win, rest of them have to battle it out, maybe.
Interesting.
I was also thinking maybe next year we could do just sort of Heathcliff things, like Ham versus the aliens, you know?
The tournament of bits. Things.
Well,
are you saying combine?
It can be anything.
Or we expand it and do it like, you know, regional. So like this part of the bracket is things. This part of the bracket is characters. This part of the bracket is captions. This other part of the bracket is, I don't know, wild
stores.
Cards.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stores. What's your favorite store? They're all just residential houses.
Gum store. There's like three stores, like gum, meat, and fish.
Meat, fish,
dentist?
Store.
Dentist store?
Like a pet store. We've had a pet store. Yeah, I feel like dentist would have to be lumped into, you know, store services, that type of thing.
Yeah.
But I was definitely thinking Garbage Ape, if there's a tournament next year, it should just be in his honor.
Well, I mean, should Jimmy sit out too then? Because then you're just clearing the way for Jimmy to sweep the thing.
Well, you just gave up my game because I lost so much money on Jimmy.
By the way, we still haven't heard from the person whose bracket won. I assume they don't listen to the show.
You rascal. They might have just been stumbled passing by on
Twitter. Yeah, they must have stumbled on it on Twitter.
Oh, that's good. I don't want to have to.
Yeah, we don't have to buy them anything, I guess.
I was so surprised at the performance of Pops Heathcliff. I really underestimated him.
Mm, yeah. A lot of respect out there for Pops.
Actual Heathcliff's there. Connor thought he swayed that in Pops' favor by advocating for Pops.
Well, good. That's what we want. That's what we want. We want
engagement.
We want community engagement in the content. That's what this is all about. You idiots think this is about actually determining who the best Heathcliff character is? No, it's about you clicking on our Twitter links. Okay, that's it.
Well, now I have to start a competing bracket with integrity for the love of the game.
Sort of the XFL of Heathcliff Twitter tournaments.
Yeah, it's like arena style.
Well, it was a great tournament. So great that we dug it out well into April.
I mean, brackets will be like that. I've seen some podcast brackets go into November. And like if you're just doing one layer a week, it can go on for way too long.
Yeah. Speaking of that, I don't know if I've said this on the show yet. You're out there. You're the person that I saw on Twitter accusing us of stealing this from Doughboys. Take a hike. All right. Doughboys didn't invent
a
tournament during
if
March.
If anything, we stole from Blank Check.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we stole it from lots of different podcasts. Who stole it from?
The sport of basketball.
The NCAA. So get lost. Get out of my face with this stuff. We're doing it again next year, you losers, whether you like it or not. Because you little piggies clicked on the links and you shared them. We got all kinds of votes. And we'll do it again.
All right, real quick, let's talk about this painting. It's called Girl with a Pearl Earring. It's a woman sort of in profile, but her head is tilted toward the viewer. She's sort of got fair skin and big eyes, and she's wearing some sort of thing on her head. I'm not exactly sure what it is, and a sort of copper-colored top. And her earring is a big pearl.
Yeah. Good job. That's a really good job, Nick, describing Girl with a Pearl Earring. She's got a real round head. Real round head.
Yes.
You know? And that, I think that's the head wrap that's contributing to that illusion. But even still, you look at her face, it's, you know, very spherical. Oh, much like the earring dangling from her ear.
Oh, I wonder if that's related.
Could be. I don't know. How the hell should I know?
Painted by Vermeer, Johannes Vermeer.
In 1665. And hey, it says right here, digitized by Mad Pixel. So shout out to both of them for equally contributing to this piece of artwork. Vermeer painted it, Mad Pixel digitized it, and here we are on Google.
Do you think she has another earring or just the one?
That is a fantastic question. I don't know.
And what does it mean?
How did Johannes Vermeer predict that Mia Goth would exist?
Oh, yeah. She does look a lot like Mia Goth.
And Mia Goth played a character named Pearl.
Wow. And Mia Goth, she kind of seems like a goth person.
Yeah. And she's a girl. And I assume has worn earrings at some point. We're cracking this thing wide open.
Okay. Well...
Now we just got to stretch this for an hour and you've got a whole podcast.
We got a new podcast.
That about wraps up this episode of the Meatcast. Thanks for joining us, Aaron.
Just about wraps it up, but not all the way, but it just about wraps it up.
We're dragging our hind legs over the finish line.
check out Aaron on Twitter. Is it Heathcliff Helms? I always forget.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay. Lots of funny Heathcliff comic edits there. And yes. Hey.
Best in the biz.
Best in the biz.
When I feel like doing it, yeah.
And until next time, that bothers me.